morning and thank you for being here. It's nice to be among public health nurses. I was a public health nurse in the Army for 21 years and retired almost 9 years ago. I can't believe it's been this long already. I still feel very young. This project was funded by the Office of Minority Health, and I want to recognize our project officer who's sitting over there. Do you want to raise your hand? Mr. Pacheco from the Office of Minority Health at HHS. There are handouts in the back of the room. If you didn't get one, they're sitting on a chair. Just an overview of the presentation, I'm going to talk about a little bit about cultural competency, although I think most of you are familiar with it, about the curriculum design, how we got to where we are, and some of our current statistics since we launched the program in March. The rationale for the curriculum, OMH has as its mission to provide education programs and for healthcare providers, and this is in concert with their mission. I think all of us are aware that the U.S. is becoming increasingly diverse, and healthcare providers need to be prepared to deliver more appropriate care to integrate the knowledge, skills, and attitudes to manage language and cultural barriers. And as our first program that we developed and launched in 2004 was for physicians, and as we did the evaluation focus groups with physicians, every one of them said that we should have this program for nurses because nurses spend more time with the patients. So here we are. And just looking at the nursing workforce, the RN population is far less diverse than the U.S. population. 12% of nurses are from a racial ethnic minority background as compared to 33% of their patients. And this is from the 2004 National Sample Survey of Registered Nurses. I was on a roll there for a second. Okay, what is cultural competency? This is the definition that OMH uses and that we use for our curriculum. It's effectively providing services to people of all cultures, races, ethnic backgrounds, and religions in a manner that respects the worth of the individual and preserves their dignity. At the bottom of each slide, you see our website, just a little marketing in case you are interested in the program. Some of the benefits of the training, we hope that it improves patient care. Studies in cultural competency education training have shown that there does seem to be a difference if a healthcare provider has the knowledge, skills, and attitudes and understands the different cultural barriers that some of the patients face. It does seem to improve the quality of care that patients receive. It also helps compliance with some state and federal regulations. There is some mandates, it's Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, that there are provisions for providing language access services, particularly for federally funded programs. And the federal support, Healthy People 2010, which I'm sure all of you have heard of, and then the Office of Minority Health, HHS. Like Jeopardy, the final question here. The class standards were developed in 2000 as a means to improve access to healthcare for minorities. How many of you are familiar with the class standards? I see a few hands. Well, there's 14 class standards divided into three themes. That would be a whole lecture in itself to go through each of the class standards, but they did serve as the framework for our curriculum. The nursing curriculum is based on the National Standards for Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services in Healthcare, which are the class standards. They're designed to equip nurses with awareness, knowledge, and skills to treat diverse patients. They're available online at no cost. They're accredited for up to 9 hours for CNEs for nurses, and they're also accredited for social workers because we had a lot of social workers express interest in a curriculum. We didn't have funding to create a separate curriculum for them, and the social work organization was willing to accredit this particular curriculum for social workers as well. Our development process, we went through a fairly rigorous development process. We conducted needs assessment focus groups with nurses across the country. different geographical locations and different ethnicities, all different types of nursing specialty groups at all different levels and years of experience. We developed an environmental scan to do a comprehensive literature review of all the programs, research, and literature that was available in the field at this time. We had a national project advisory committee of nurses from all different areas representing some of the different nursing minority groups, as well as some academia. Consensus building panel, where for 2 days we worked together with experts in the field to reach a consensus on what needed to be included in the curriculum. I won't say we came out of there reaching a total consensus, but pretty much everybody agreed on most of what should be included in the curriculum. It's hard to get together a group of nurses and have everybody walk out agreeing on everything that should be included and what can't be included. And we have expert papers from the field. All these documents are available on our website for you to review. So if you're interested, they're in PDFs and you can download them and review them. I will warn you, the environmental scan is rather lengthy. It's probably over 200 some pages. So if you want to hit print, you might want to think about that. Our first draft was PDF and DVD case vignettes, and that was pilot tested at 7 sites in March through May of 2005. From that, we went back and incorporated all the feedback, looked at the recommendations, provided that to the Office of Minority Health, and determined what should be adjusted in the curriculum and what needed to be added or revised. And then we put it on the web-based platform, and we did the field testing August through October of 2006, presented it to our National Project Advisory Committee in November of 2006, made final revisions, came up with a final draft, went through the final accreditation process with our accrediting body, and launched it in March 2007. On the curriculum, this is just a sample web shot. You can watch streaming case videos, answer pre- and post-tests that provide immediate feedback, receive instant online grading, and your certificate prints right out. The program bookmarks where you are, so if you're busy and you only have time to do a certain part of it, it'll take you back to where you left off and allows you to participate in self-assessment exercises, because we felt this was very important. This is just some sample case studies. We try and cover a lot of different ethnic groups and a lot of different chronic and acute disease areas so that people get a good mix of the different case vignettes. And these are some of the interactive features. We have class acts, which are creative ways to implement the class standards in your organizations, and what a nurse can do as an advocate for culturally and linguistically appropriate services. Cultural insights, fast facts, pulse points, which are questions about the video clips and the stories from the front line, and I'll show you one of those. Stories from the front line are examples of actual cultural encounters from nurses in the field, either that we collected during our focus groups, from authors who were willing to provide those to us, or from our project advisory committee members. And then video clips. And these are the three themes. Each course is worth 3 CNEs. So if you complete one, you get 3 and you get your certificate. If you complete all 3, you get the 9 continuing education credits. And I just want to point out that this really was developed by nurses for nurses. And we felt that was really important to make sure that this was tailored for nurses. This is an example of a story from the front line. So it gives a story, an actual story. And then for this particular one, it was from Lynn and Jerry McFarlane, and they gave us permission to use this. And then there's specific questions that you answer. And then you have to agree to allow us to moderate this and post it so that other nurses or healthcare providers can see your responses if you want to see them. And nurses have mentioned they really like seeing what the other nurses say about their case studies. Okay, here's some statistics, and this is as of October. I think now we've awarded almost 12,000 credits. So the program's been very successful, as you can see, just since March. And some of the top participant specialties, public and community health, psychiatric mental health, pediatrics, and med-surg are the top four participants. We also have LPNs that have participated, as I mentioned, social workers, and medical staff, just administrative staff who've participated in the program. And we give certificates of participation to, if you don't want the credits but you want to complete the program, you can get a certificate of participation. And these are some of our user demographics. The primary age is 40 through 54, and white non-Hispanic is the primary user ethnicity. But we've got a good mix of participation. Just going to quickly run through the average pre- and post-test. You can see a significant increase in the post-test questions, which hopefully is what we want to see. Some of the pre-test scores were pretty low. Course 3, people seem to find the easiest on organizational supports, which talks about strategic plan, the nurse is an advocate, and how an organization can assess whether it's really designed or has planning for providing access, increased access, and working with communities. And this is just some of the questions from our evaluation questions. So it looks like most of the population that has completed the curriculum says that they would incorporate what they learn into their daily practice. So that's positive. And the course is an effective tool to increase their knowledge of cultural competence. They strongly agree that the material is presented effectively. And we do get a lot of user feedback, and we are willing to make changes. We want to improve the curriculum. It is a living document, and we provide recommendations to the Office of Minority Health every 6 months on new literature, new findings, new articles, and feedback that we get from users of ways to improve the curriculum. And we provide a report to them and make recommendations as to what we should do to improve the curriculum and add to the curriculum. So just some of the user feedback. I appreciate all the insight into the various cultures, user-friendly, rich with content, and provided opportunities for personal insight. And self-awareness feedback. The course helps you become more aware of the way you work with all patients. And I considered myself fairly culturally competent and found there was so much more to learn. These are just anecdotal comments taken right off the website from users. So and we did get an endorsement from the ANA, which was a real kudo for us, I think. Rebecca Panton actually came and filmed a cameo of herself, and it's on our DVD, which will be coming out soon. It's a facilitator's toolkit. And to be a facilitator, you have to have completed the online training. We just didn't want the toolkit to go out to everybody in the community or used. We found the physician's DVD was used as kind of a handout to get physicians to come into the program, and we didn't want that. We wanted this to really be a tool for hospitals or university programs to use. So there's a DVD that has all the case studies on it and an endorsement from Rebecca Patton, and then the CD with all the facilitator's guide and all the accompanying PowerPoint slides, to include a little marketing tool that has slides to tell you how to market the program and how to get support for it. You do still have to register online so that we get our data. There's always a catch, right? Some of the additional Office of Minority Health programs that we also support, we have curriculum modules for physicians, a healthcare language services implementation guide, which is an online interactive tool that you can actually download and print to help assess your healthcare organizations and implementing language access services. And there's actual forms and checklists, and you can tailor it and modify it to use in your facilities. And now we're currently developing a disaster preparedness and crisis response cultural competency curriculum. And we just had our first national project advisory committee meeting, and we'll have our consensus building panel in a few weeks. So, a lot of exciting work going on. And if you have any questions, I have cards up here, and our information is here, both myself and Mr. Pacheco. Also, we'll be conducting an evaluation of the nursing curriculum, so if you're interested in participating in focus groups, we need at least 6 to 8 nurses who've completed the curriculum to participate. You do get paid for your participation, so feel free to contact us, either my email this way, or I have my card up here. Thank you very much.